Amitabha Buddha means the infinite enlightenment, which is to restore original nature, to bring about our Buddhahood completely. And the next two statue or picture around Amitabha Buddha, one is Guanyin, which indicates or represent original capability. And the other one, Da Shi Zi Pu Sa, the great spiritual power, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, excuse me, refers to original realization. And therefore, from this declaration of three holy deities, which is not as a religious meaning, but that is an educational reminder. To return to Amitabha meaning refers to return to our original nature. To follow Guanyin means to return to our original capability, and to follow the great spiritual power Bodhisattva means to return to original realization. Therefore, this setup, it is an education and definitely not idol worship. Once nature has numerous virtues, talents, and wisdoms, and these are the capability of original nature, and they all contained in one. For example, in our nature, we have natural compassion, loving kindness. For that, we give a name, Guanyin Bodhisattva Mahasattva, because Guanyin is a good example or representation of loving kindness, compassion. In our nature, we also have wisdom. Wisdom is oftentimes represented by the great spiritual power, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, another assistant to Amitabha Buddha. And for wisdom, we simply use the great spiritual power, Bodhisattva, as a representative. In our nature, we also have natural respect and love to our teachers and elder ones, and that in Buddhism is represented by Kristikaba Bodhisattva Mahasattva. In our nature, we also have great and broad mind to wish all beings to be well, and that is oftentimes represented by the Pu Xian Pu Sa. In Sanskrit, it's Samatabhadra Bodhisattva Mahasattva. Unfortunately, because of these representations are numerous, and people think Buddhism is a religion that worship multi-deities. Actually, all these virtues, wisdoms and talents, are one, containing one person's, and just derived from that nature, shows in different aspects. So Buddhism is not only a religion of one deity, it is a religion of no deity at all. But for the sake of education, to help sentient beings restore their original nature, Buddhism skillfully utilize the art, the music, to help people to become educated. And that's expressed in architecture and statue and all these things. It is not a worship or religion, but has been misunderstood. It is an education to restore original nature and utilize very skillful methods. And fortunately, these words, again, misunderstood. So the modern society has artistic education, try to make teaching an art, make the student enjoy. But that was long contained and was well advanced in Buddha's original teaching and his methods. In the Sutra of the Universe, and also observing the Infinite Life Sutra, where we can see many holy states, which is a beautified environment described in the Buddha and Bodhisattva's level. So the education is to beautify our body and mind. And therefore, we can see in the temple, which is actually a place for education, we use incense, flower, flutes, and lamps. The incense represents the fragrance of our nature. And in Buddhism, it further represents the fragrance of precept and samadhi. Because the incense offering, if you misunderstood that as an offering to Buddha or Bodhisattva, that is misconcept, actually superstitions. The incense is to remind you need to return to your original nature, and also special type of fragrance will facilitate the meditation environment. It is not offered to let Buddha smell the incense that you are offering. And in Chinese tradition, the reason we use incense or the fragrance, it was came from in the ancient time from the western borderline. If there's any invader invading the country, they will light up the wolves' waste and generate strong smoke. If you see carefully, or if you travel to mainland China visiting the Great Wall, you're going to notice at a certain location of the Great Wall, there is a smoke station where the wolves' waste was burned and heavy smoke came out, and they transmit the smoke from one station to another for thousands of miles. It takes 20-some hours to pass the message to the capital city that invader is coming. So that's the Chinese tradition to use that represent the nature. The next one is flower offering. Flower represent the cause. If you want a good result, you should have a good flower which will bear good fruits. And every time when you see the flower, it's a reminder that we should plant good seed, therefore we can expect good results. For the fruit offering, it represents the result, particularly the karmic result. For Buddhists, when we see the fruit offering, our thinking is different from average people. We are thinking about the utmost supreme Bodhi fruit, meaning to become fully enlightened as Buddha. Therefore, all these are served as inspiration or reminder for the educational purposes. How about offering water? The water indicates tranquility, equanimity, and purity. That represent the Buddha nature within in all sentient beings equally. If your mind can be pure and equal like that of water, then I congratulate you that you have become Buddha. So water offering is to remind us, try to bring our mind back to that egg water, pure equanimity and tranquility. And finally, the offering of lamps, L-A-M-P-S, indicating two things, bright light or righteousness of our nature, and also it indicates sacrifice oneself and help or save others. Just like the candle burns itself with light emitting and shining to the darkness. Today, we offer electrical lamps. That meaning becomes not so clear now. So overall, all these teaching aids that used in temple for education or reminder as an inspiration are artistic teaching in Buddhism and it started long time ago. Unfortunately, most people do not understand its true meaning. Nowadays in in the United States, you may not be able to see the ancient structure and architecture of traditional Chinese temple. But those temples being restored in mainland China, you can see from their structure and architecture, it still contains a very profound educational meaning. First, when you enter a classical ancient temple, is the Heavenly King Palace, which he also called Dharma Protection Deity's place. It is Dharma Protection Deity not to protect the place as you would think. It is to protect you if you follow the Dharma properly. And in the middle is the statue of Happy Buddha with big belly, which indicates compassion, equanimity, and total tolerance. There's a saying that says to generate a mind of equanimity and express in a happy smiling face. This is the teaching of Buddha Sakyamuni, that when you first enter into the temple, which is the educational center, you need to check yourself. Are you have a broad mind willing to learn? Are you have happy and balanced personality able to learn? Which is indicated by the Happy Buddha right outside in the first Heavenly King Palace. If you do not possess these qualities, then Buddha do not want you to become his students because you do not qualify for those basic requirements. And after that one, if you entered to the next place in the temple, would be the great literally means hero, precious place, meaning the enlightened Buddha, but we are going to discuss that later. Let's concentrate on the first place when you first enter into the temple. There are four deities, so to speak. The eastern direction is a statue or picture of the country protection deity in the east, which is a statue, but remind people, are we fulfilling our duties? Are we doing things sincerely? If you are an employee for a company, if you do a job properly, sincerely, and wholeheartedly, then you have all the trust and you will be a useful, reliable employee of that company. And this is the teaching from Buddha, by working harder as an employee, and therefore, if any layoff comes, you probably will survive. And it's not so much of chanting Buddha name for protection or request Buddha's mercy to protect you. It is already indicated in the vivid statue that we should study, we should perform our duty sincerely. As a father or mother or a member of the family, that refers to, are you sincerely perform your duty as a member in this family? If so, then this family will be a happy one. And likewise, this can be applied to any places, in any person, to whatever his or her role is, by fulfilling his duties. The second one is another statue called the Prosperity of a Heavenly King in the South, which indicates diligently working to seek for constant progress and never stop. And the third one and fourth one are other deities which tell us how to be prosperous. So it comes the third deity, which is wide-eyed heavenly deity in the West, which means we should always open our eyes and constantly aware and watch things to learn. And the fourth one is the deity of profound knowledge in the North, which means we should learn and absorb experiences and gain knowledge. By doing this, then you can almost for sure to become prosperous in your life. After the entrance in the classical temple comes the great Buddha Sakyamuni's main hall. And this hall, if you look from outside, it contains two layers. But once you enter inside, it's only one. And you cannot see, it's like two layers. So looking from outside seems to have two layers, which indicating the relative truth and absolute truth. And once you enter inside, it was only one. No two, no three, no four. So therefore, the structure itself indicates that two means multiple, one means singular. That a multiple and single, single and multiple are no different. They all harmoniously contain within each other. And that is the level of this universe sutra described. And because sentient beings have different capability and karmic potentials, karmic obstacles, therefore Buddha has to make his teaching most easily understood to people for their capacities. That's why for those who want to cut off egoistic self, there was Theravada Buddhism's teaching to cut off ego. For those who understand not only the ego has to be detached, but also the craving to the Dhamma, to the truth, is another addiction, another attachment, then this is Mahayana's teaching to cut off the attachment to the truth. And then there are also another supreme, that is to cut off everything, that is the supreme teaching which Pure Land Buddhism belongs to this one. That's why, generally speaking, it can be categorized into three layers of Buddhism, or even five different types of teaching, but ultimately, it is only one supreme teaching, which Amitabha Buddhism is talk about. And I'd like to give you one example, described in the sutra. How come this supreme teaching is so inconceivable in its value helping sentient beings? In Buddha's time, there was Indian king by the name of Aduli, who has made very severe bad sin that you can possibly think about, which is try to kill Buddha, break the harmonious Sangha organization apart, kill the father, and even attempt to kill the mother. And he has done all these evil things that not average people would like to do. For this kind of sinful person, at the time of his ending of life, out of great repentance, Buddha teaching the Amitabha method, and he repented himself and recite Buddha's name, and he was born into the Pure Land instead of falling down to the hell. You may say, well, this person may be very lucky. He probably entered into Buddha's world of a low level. According to the sutra description, he was born into the second highest level, into the Pure Land. And that is the inconceivable virtue and power of this Amitabha Buddhism. What kind of people can be born into Amitabha's Pure Land? One is people like you and me who understand and who try to accumulate merits and practicing Amitabha while we are still alive and young and healthy. The second type person who can be born into Pure Land is those who sincerely repent themselves and cut off their wrongdoings and chanting Amitabha Buddha name because of their sincerity and great devotion. Even though the time they do was very short, they can be born into Pure Land at a level higher than us. And that comes back to Buddha's teaching that we should always treat other people with a mind of equanimity and not despise anybody, because he or she may be born into Pure Land higher than us, regardless what kind of person he may be now. When I went to mainland China, visiting these old temples with the classical structure, I also noticed there are tourists and also tour guide explaining the structure and the temple and the history. I listen to them, but I don't see the profound education aids was properly explained to the tourists. Instead of making correction, I utilize this opportunity and explain to people around me, friends around me, the purpose of this temple, the structure of this and that. And that draws attention to other tourists. They open their eyes and ears, listen to what I said. Looks like they realize it was very wonderful education by just looking at the structure of the classical temples. And I wish that people understand the structure and the meaning behind it. And when they visit the temple, it is a valuable field trip, so they can learn, they can understand, and then if they appreciate, maybe they will follow and become and practice Buddha Dhamma, and that will be the purpose of promoting Buddhism without any religious approaches. The religion is oftentimes dealing with emotion, make people very zealous in pursuing whatever that religion tried to describe. But Buddhism is taking approach with rationale. It is not approached with emotion. There are some people who become the Buddhists, but after a few years of practice, they go backwards or drop out their practices. And that's because their motivation was emotional. On the other hand, if your approach to Buddhism is out of rationale, and the more you understand the true meaning of Buddhism, you will increase your faith, and you will never regress it. Buddha Sakyamuni has given teachings for 49 years, almost without rest. The purpose is to make people understand the real meaning of education and benefit themselves. When one truly benefits oneself and have pleasure and joy out of the Dhamma, out of the truth, he will never go backwards. The Chinese proverb says, when a person encounters a happy event, he or she will then in good spirits. Therefore, if one person truly understand the value of Buddhism and the result of practice Buddha Dharma in daily life, then he is constantly live in happy life. And therefore, they should never regress, go backwards. Because Buddhism is an education to help sentient beings alleviate suffering and obtain happiness. For it is education to help achieve family happiness, to achieve harmony in a society. It is such an education. And that's why we like to promote, advocate Buddha's teaching or education. And that's why we call Buddha the most compassionate one. Because his compassion is he wants to make all beings happy. And as a disciple of Buddha, we should do the same. And that can also be pointed out at the end of every sutra. The last portion is called circulation. It is to encourage Dhamma meeting members from the Dhamma meeting after they have understand the profound teaching, enjoy the Dhamma joy, they will, and it's also encouraged to promote Buddhism and their understanding and make all other beings receive the benefits. Therefore, when I look at any book published in the market, the first thing I do is take a look at the back side of the book, which is equivalent to the sutra circulation portion. If I see the word says, there's a copyright, if anyone reproduces without permission, will be pursued through legal approaches, I will drop this book. No matter how wonderful the book may describe, because that author, thinking about making money, thinking about a self, with such a selfishness, selfish attitude, no matter what he says, cannot have true meaning. At least what he says and what I see are not in agreement. Because in Buddha's teaching, and also from many examples of the sutra, the ending portion is always circulation and benefit all. And that's why the sutra generally from our organization always free of charge for free distribution. And I like to advise you in the future when you check out a book, take a look at the last page to see if they insist the copyright. The enlightenment means those who realize cosmos and the life, and that's Buddha or Bodhisattvas. And for those who do not realize cosmos and life are called ordinary sentient beings. Buddha or Bodhisattvas are not God, and ordinary sentient beings are not sinful person either. They all are sentient beings, and only differences are do they realize or enlightened to the cosmos and life or not. For the definition of cultivation, it is if one have a proper understanding and then apply to daily life, that is cultivation. Without proper understanding, just hardworking, one could still practicing diligently in the wrong path or blindly. So what is cultivation? It is to correct the wrong viewpoints, the wrong actions. From ordinary sentient beings level all the way to Bodhisattva's level are not separate from this basic principle. Cultivate and improve wrong viewpoints and wrong actions through the body, speech, and the mind. That's the principle and the true meaning of cultivation. The keys for cultivation are threefold. Realization, righteousness, and purity. realization refers to Buddha's enlightenment. Righteousness refers to the teaching of the Dhamma. Purity are also referred to those who live in a pure life like monks or nuns. The sixth patriarch, Huinen, stated very well in the Platform Sutra. He said, take refuge to the enlightenment, to the righteousness, and to the purity. And then he explained, righteousness refers to Buddha, realization refers to Buddha, righteousness refers to Dhamma, and purity refers to Sangha. Because the essence of this triple gem really refer to the triple gem of one's self nature, which is enlightened, righteous, and pure. And then the external